Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Office Hours. Before we dive in, I have a quick favor to ask of you. If you're enjoying listening to Office Hours, do you mind taking a moment to subscribe, leave a review, and share the podcast with someone who could really benefit from some of our learnings that we talk about together? Your support helps us reach so many more entrepreneurs and business owners, and it helps us keep creating really valuable content because we get more feedback, learn what more people's needs are, and it really just helps us build a community all together. So would really appreciate it. And thank you so, so much. Hi, friends, and welcome back to Office Hours. I'm going to talk this week a little bit more about the process of hiring and interviewing someone before bringing them on your team. Because every now and again, I still get stuck and I still get really overwhelmed. And I catch myself asking the wrong questions when hiring. And so this episode is going to talk specifically about how to save you all of the time, money, and energy that I've wasted on hiring and finding the right kind of help, because we're going to talk about a super common mistake, which is hiring the wrong kind of help. And trust me, you are not alone in this. I have done this way too many times, and I've learned the hard way. And so let's just dig right into it. So here's what sparked this episode. I have been talking to, every week I talk to at least a dozen clients of people that are interested in working with Lucia and have questions about how to bring on one of our co-pilots into their business. And so I had multiple back-to-back calls with clients this past week with business owners who are ready to hire. They were, all the common things, super stressed, buried in work, and convinced that they needed this ops person. In particular, I had one woman today that I was talking with, and she was endlessly talking about how she needed help with operations. And I took a look at one of the requests that she had made on the Lucia platform, and the title was need an executive assistant, but then the description was everything to do with operations. And so when I was talking to her and the other people that I was, doing this demo with Lucia, I asked what they actually needed help with, like in the day-to-day of their business. They said, I'm drowning in emails. My calendar's a mess. I need someone to follow up with leads. I need to keep track of the little details. I need to figure out what I'm missing. I need to clean up my workflows. And the entire time I was sitting there, I was thinking, this, you're thinking of actually an executive assistant role, not necessarily an operations role. And that's a little bit of semantics. So it's not necessarily useful, I get that, to name them two different things. But this is a common mistake, and the whole ops concept sounds a bit more strategic, and it sounds like you're focusing on growth, like you're building. And there's something about hiring an assistant that just seems, at least for me, it seemed a little bit like gratuitous or like selfish if I felt the need to spend money on an assistant rather than fueling the business. But if you're the one underwater, I need you to just think about this for a second. If you're the one underwater, if you're the bottleneck in your business, then bringing on a person to help you with strategy or come up with more to-dos in the business, that doesn't solve the problem. That's someone that's basically like a COO or an ops manager. But you don't need someone that's that COO. You don't need that ops person. You need someone to come in and clean up your inbox and get you out of fight or flight mode, get you out of chaos mode. And so that's the difference. You don't actually necessarily need an operations person. You might just need an assistant. So let's get clear. An EA versus an operations person, what's the difference? An executive assistant supports you, the business owner or the founder. They are handling your your traveling, your scheduling, to-dos, follow-ups, anything on your task list. They're basically your second brain. They're also a bit of a gatekeeper and a time saver. They're someone that creates systems around you to support you. They create systems around you, though. And an operations person supports the business. They manage internal workflows, SOPs, team communication, reporting, back-end processes. They're building structure, but for everyone else at the company. One is more tactical and one's a bit more personal. Sorry, one is tactical and personal, and the other one is a bit more strategic and organizational and, like I said, for the business. And so if you feel like your brain is on fire, just to give you a little bit of like an analogy here, like you don't need someone, you don't need an architect to go build you this massive empire. You need a fire extinguisher. You're not in this build mode. You are in a put out the fire mode. So how do you figure out where you're at? What kind of help you need? Well, I have set aside a few questions for you to think about what it is exactly you need. So, and this is the way that I think about it. Okay. So I started and did this mistake multiple times. I had multiple operations hires before I ever brought on my first assistant, who is now my second brain. And for context, I asked her a bunch of questions about what makes an EA a great EA, but also what makes her good at her job, and also what makes it clear that I need her. So this is kind of a sharing from my own personal experience with my assistant. And she said, you need to do a self-check of like, what do you need? So how do you figure out what kind of help to hire? These are the questions. First of all, what is actually overwhelming you right now? Is it your personal admin, like in your life, with your kids, in your house? Is it that side of things? Is it your personal admin in the business? Is it drop balls of like projects or things that are going on? Is it missed emails? Is it a bigger picture confusion or lack of processes, or maybe processes that are not working well? Is it repeatable tasks or just tasks in general that no one owns? No one knows who's supposed to be doing certain things. Okay, so that's kind of my first like segment of questions. Think about what is it exactly? Is it personal? Is it to do with you and your, whether it's overwhelmingness or just like whatever's going on for you? Or is it the team in general, the processes, the repeatable tasks, the bigger team stuff? Okay, that's number one. Number two is, what is your style of delegation? Now, most people when I'm in a demo for Lucia have no idea. So it's okay if you have no idea. But I would say, ask you and say to you, do you give clear instructions? And if you don't, but you think you do, that's also something different. So do you actually give clear instructions, or are you just firing off voice memos here, texts there, you know, sending emails at midnight, hoping someone can piece all these little things together? To translate and to make you feel better about your style, I am definitely number two. I'd like to think I'm number one, but I'm not. I'm number two. I'm sending my assistant texts, Slack messages, emails, pings. I even send her Instagram DMs of content that I like that I want her to bring up for me later. And if you need someone to translate that chaos for you, that's what an EA does. That's the person that's taking your chaotic hurricane of a mess and cleaning it up, making it into something that's usable for you. That's okay. It is not a big deal if you are a hurricane and you just need someone to translate that for you. That does not mean that you have faulted or that's like a, you know, mistake on your part or something you did wrong. It's okay if that's the way that your style is. Just acknowledge it, just own it, and just do something about it. Because I spent so many years thinking that I could take care of my inbox, take care of my to-dos. And the answer was I clearly just didn't, and things were falling through the cracks, honestly. So next question or next set of questions for you is, what are your personal weaknesses as well? This is different than your delegation style. This is more of just like a you personality thing. So do you procrastinate? Do you hate following through? Are you impatient, disorganized, allergic to details? If you are a CEO and you're nodding your head to all this, that's okay. It's very common for a business owner or founder or CEO to have these types of personality traits, if you will, because I definitely do. I am not the person that actually closes the loop on most projects. I'm usually the one handing out things to do, and I'm rarely the one that's actually following through and getting the work done. But when I started realizing that about myself, it made it way, way, way easier to just be okay with it and move on and ask someone else to do the closing the loop. That's completely okay. And you want that first hire for you to counterbalance those blind spots, not mirror them. And what I mean by that is, and this is such an important point, that if you're hiring someone, you want them to be all the things that you're not. You want them to be great at all the things you're bad at. Not someone that's going to be your twin. I talk to a lot of clients all day long. And they're like, I need my twin. I need someone who's going to be my right hand. No, you don't. You want your complete polar opposite to be a match made in heaven because you want them to clean up your mess, not make a bigger mess for you. Okay, that's kind of question set number three. And number four is, how clean is your business hygiene? To be honest with you, the answer, if you're listening to this, nodding your head at this point, you're probably a hot mess, or at least maybe you're kind of a mess. And if you're not, that's okay too. But let me ask you this. If your internal tools are a mess, like for you, and there's 17 versions of the same Google Doc for you, or your, you know, SOPs are in your head, if your onboarding process is, you know, 60% just kind of going with the flow, you may think that you need operations, but what you actually probably need is someone to help clean you up first. And that all of that is EA territory. So when you think about this, when you think about these processes, I need you to think about where the pain points actually are. Identify if it's an EA or an ops person that you need, and then go from there. So now that you've kind of identified, hopefully, whether you need EA or ops, I want you to think about the hiring process and kind of walk you through a few key mistakes that I want you to really hopefully avoid. And the first is hiring based on title versus tasks. It's so tempting to say that I need an ops person, but what you really need is clarity on what they're going to do and not just who they are. I'm telling you all the time, I spend hours a week in these demo calls with clients, and the answer usually the question of being, what do you need or what are you looking for, is I need an operations person, or I need someone to help me do concierge work or do property management or whatever it is. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Great. But like, what do you actually need them to get done? And so I need you to think before you ever hire someone, what specific tasks do you actually need them to accomplish? Don't worry about the title just yet. Figure that out at the end. If you're writing the title in the beginning, though, you're probably misidentifying what you actually need because you might try to like fill in the tasks based on that title. Don't worry about that. Just focus on the tasks first. Title can come later. Kind of mistake number two is expecting one person to do both of these things. This, if anything, is the most common challenge that I try to walk business owners out of doing pretty unsuccessfully. It's really hard to convince someone to not do this. So founders and business owners love a unicorn hire. And I was listening to Nick Huber of the Sweaty Startup podcast. He's amazing. Highly recommend. And he mentioned that you cannot expect to hire a unicorn to run your day-to-day business. You need to expect an everyday average person and give them the tools to do the work that's needed to be done. Do not search endlessly for this unicorn. Search for the good person, but then give them great tools to be able to succeed. And so you need someone not who can manage your inbox and also manage your concierge work or also manage talking to clients. I mean, that would be awesome, but that's two completely different jobs, two completely different skill sets and brains. You are going to burn someone out, or even worse, waste your own money trying to find both in one, or find someone who's halfway decent at one and then try to force them to do the other. And if anything, I'll admit it, that's something that I'm trying to pull me and my EA out of right now. She's doing a lot of work that's ops related because of just changes in our team and our dynamics. And that's why we're, you know, actively trying to bring on more people to relieve her of the roles that, frankly, she shouldn't be expected to do and aren't in her, you know, wheelhouse of like favorite tasks to be doing. Okay, that's kind of mistake number two. Mistake number three is skipping your work before you hire someone. Before you hire, you need to pause and ask, what do I actually need? What am I good at? And what am I bad at? What kind of support will help me show up better? And who do I need to become, or what work do I need to do before I bring someone into my mess? And my own assistant, again, one of the best decisions I ever made in my business, she always, you know, kind of follows this rule, is what I've noticed. And when I was asking her about some of the topics that we should talk about in this chat, she mentioned a few things. You need to tend to your business hygiene. You need to understand your communication style, and you need to make a plan. And that work itself is not sexy, but it really, really does work. So what to do kind of moving forward if you're stuck in this? I urge you to consider for 1 week, jot down where your time is going. And I mean diligently. It's going to take a bit of work, but what's draining your energy? What are you avoiding? That specifically, like, what are you avoiding, became really useful for me in understanding that I didn't need an ops person. I needed an EA, because I'd avoid closing the loop on a lot of projects. I'd get all excited to, like, talk about the strategy or the concepts behind it, and that I wouldn't execute the actual project. So what are you avoiding? Then you need to make two lists. What's pulling my attention personally, and what's breaking inside the business, so that you can basically your personal, you know, list of what's pulling your attention. That's your EA's job description, literally right there. And the second is ops. Now, if you have a full list for both, congrats, you might need to hire two people, but more than likely, you'll probably have one list, as long as you're being really honest with yourself about it. And then start small. If you've never hired support before, you do not want to jump into full-time because you probably don't need it. I have a lot of clients that say to me, I need 20 hours, 30 hours, 40 hours worth of work for someone, and then they barely use someone for 5 hours. I urge you to try part-time or fractional EAs first. Give them a few hours a week, see what happens, and see what happens when you get your headspace back. It doesn't have to be this huge leap. It can be a test. But if you do still feel overwhelmed, then you can look at ops. But more than likely, you just need a few hours of someone cleaning out your inbox and managing your personal to-dos. So here's the biggest reframe that I want to leave you with, is that you don't have to build like a Fortune 500 company to run like one. Your job is not to look impressive. It's to get the right support at the right time. And so most of the time, that means starting with someone who gives you your time back. You don't need to feel badly about asking for that time back. You don't need to feel badly about requiring something to help you personally get sane. Yeah, it feels great to want to support and throw money back into the business, but that might actually be achieved if you get yourself in order first. Because once you're mentally out of the weeds, that's when you can really focus on good and true growth of the business. So, all right. If you're still wondering if you need an EA or an ops person, if you're curious, you're not quite sure, send me a Slack, not a Slack, send me an Instagram DM or an email. You know, my email and my Instagram accounts are always in the show notes. Send me a DM on Instagram or an email. And if you let me know that you listen to this episode, we will spend 30 minutes together going through your to-do list, and I will sit down with you, and I'll sit down with the framework that I used with my own clients, even if you don't want to use Lucia. And I'm more than happy to sit down with you. It might just save you thousands of dollars and a lot of frustration if we really go through this the right way. So if this episode helped, forward it to a fellow founder, or if you don't mind, leave a review. It takes 10 seconds and it would help me really understand if you liked it or didn't like this episode. But most importantly, just know that you're not building alone. There's a lot of tools and resources out there to help you grow and build. And I genuinely hope that this is something that's helping you as you sort of build out and try to scale your business the right way. I hope this was helpful. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Office Hours.